Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I am your host, and we are live. It is the 14th of May at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. But if you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. Oh, gosh, I want to let you know that we are over in the chat room, and you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that you can watch rather than listen if you would prefer to. And you can do that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So easy enough. I've got a funny glare in my camera, but it is what it is. How's it going? There's a lot going on. Holy moly. I mean, as you know, we had the Northern Lights this weekend. And as you might know, seeing the Northern Lights is a bucket list for me that I have not been able to fulfill yet in my life until this weekend. So super exciting in my world. And I have a couple of pictures of the lights that I saw to share with you. But I also did a lot of work on the Northern Lights in Luminous this week. So we'll talk about that too. But I want to know, did you guys see them? I know some places here in the U.S. and, of course, overseas could see them. I also know that some people weren't either able to see them or just, you know, fell asleep. I also want to show you, I told you I was making this fancy crystal candy for my sisters for Mother's Day. Believe it or not, it is still not done. It's supposed to sit for a certain amount of time to get like the hard crust on the outside of it. And mine is slowly getting there, but not nearly as fast as the recipe I read said it would. So we're still kind of waiting. But I'm going to ask Scott to run a couple of pieces in so I can show you what it looks like. So that I can show you. Thank you. Will you also grab me a couple of pieces of crystal candy? What a man. He fixed my curtain. I can't stand the glare. This poor guy. Anyway, let's see. Hey, happy life and light. Happy to have you and all of you. Sherry said people in her neighborhood did see them, but she did not. Okay, I'm going to show you some of the crystal candy really fast. And I'm so sorry, chat room, I don't have pictures of them to share with you. So this is only in the live. So that's, isn't that cool? And then lots of smaller pieces that I shouldn't have worn purple today. It matches me. Smaller pieces that just look like little wands. You literally carve these out of blocks. And then I did have quite a few that kind of look like a piece of tourmaline, like black tourmaline like that. Literally, you just have a bowl full of this stuff, thank you, set up. And you get your knife out and you carve it. To be whatever you want it to look like. And then you coat it. I coated mine with some like luster dust, like edible, like mica powder type stuff. And then, yeah, that's true. And here's what the orange ones turned out like. So, I mean, they look like crystals. That's all? Okay. Anyway, that's what they turned out like. But again, still waiting for that hard crystal crust to form over them so that they're not, so that they're done. But anyway, that's how they turned out, in case you're curious. Oh, let's see. Jane said it was fogged over in Cali. Sherry said, yeah, people in Oklahoma did see them. She did not. No for Jessica. Have I been feeling any of the Yellowstone earthquakes? I haven't felt a thing. Yeah, there's been a whole bunch. Yellowstone's having a cluster right now of a whole bunch of fairly small earthquakes, you know, in comparison. But yeah, we haven't felt a single thing. Yeah. Right? Those colors could be my Halloween package. Well, you carve them. So you just pour your stuff into, it's kind of like Jell-O, the way you make it. And then you pour it into like a Tupperware container and let it harden up for a few hours. And then you pour it out onto a dish and you've got like a, just act like it's a block of Jell-O, only a lot more sturdy. And then you just use knives to carve out whatever shapes that you want. Except for the one geode one that I showed you in the beginning, that I did in a mold. But other than that, we just carved them. It was actually really fun. Lillian needs me to eat one and prove it. They are too pretty to be candy. You could do crystal skulls for Halloween. I saw somebody on TikTok that did skulls and they turned out really cool. They taste really good too. I actually used Kool-Aid to flavor and color mine because I thought that might be easier, because otherwise you need some citric acid. And I have some. I actually put some citric acid in the orange one. It's actually, the orange one was a bit of a fail. It was supposed to be a multicolor, like half of the container was supposed to be pink and the other half was supposed to be yellow, and they kind of meet in the middle, so you have various colors. At least that's the tutorial I watched. That's what they did. But when I did it, pretty soon the whole thing was orange. So I probably need to try again. And I don't know what. Maybe cook it longer. Maybe find a way to adjust it for high elevations. I wondered if that's my issue. Yeah. Since that, I wondered how you got the super dark color. The ones I've seen look like colored quartz, super transparent. Yeah, people just do that by coloring it, pouring it clear into their dish, and then just dribbling a little bit of food coloring and kind of swirling it with a toothpick or something so that it is mostly clear with just a pop of color. I just didn't do mine that way, but I should. I should try some. Anyway, that's how they turned out. I just thought it was pretty fun. So Friday night, and Lillian, you are not going to like this story. I already know. But we're going here. Friday night, you know, I have the Daybell trial going on right now. So I have a live stream every single night for the Daybell trial. And that live stream sometimes lasts as long as like 2 hours because, well, there's a lot to talk about. And so we had a night of our live on Friday night. And when I got done, Scott was watching Boise State softball. And as you know, I'm a huge Boise State fan and a huge softball fan, college softball. And Boise was kind of pulling off the impossible. They were playing in the Mountain West Conference tournament, and they were hosting it this year. And it's the first time in program history that they have gotten to host, because their facilities weren't up to par until this year. They got a brand new field. Anyway, long story short, they came back as the underdog and fought their way into the final game. But that didn't happen until after 9 p.m. on Friday night. And they would be playing at noon in Boise on Saturday for the championship game. And I'm like, we are stupid to not go. Like, will this ever happen again, that they're hosting and they're in the championship game? This is the first time in program history they made it to the championship game. So, like, a lot have never happened befores, and maybe will never happen again, at least on their field in a place where we could actually go. Anyway, so blah, blah, blah. I was like, we should go. But then I had some listen calls, so I was in my office working. And pretty soon Scott storms in here at like 9:30, and he's got his backpack. And he's like, I'm packed and the dogs are packed. You need to get ready to leave. And I'm like, leave for where? And he said, Boise, we're going tonight. If we went on Saturday, we would have had to probably leave around 6 or 7 to get to our kids' house, to drop off our dogs, to get to the field, to get, you know, you need to get to the field a good hour early so that you can get a decent spot. And anyway, it's a lot. So he just decided, you know what, we're going tonight. So we call our kids on the way. We left our house at 10:15 p.m. Call our kids and say, well, we're coming and we're going to be there around 2. They had no idea. So I know. We've become these parents, apparently. So we hightail it to Boise. But about halfway there, I start noticing that the sky is looking different. So I rolled down my window and started taking pictures because you could see it. But as you know, if you saw it, it's much more vibrant in your cell phone camera. So I started seeing it. And we saw them from around Burley, Idaho, all the way to Boise. So we experienced them for about 3 hours, just driving down the highway in the middle of the night. It was pretty amazing. My daughter in northern Montana saw them. My daughters, you know, obviously in Boise, saw them. Yeah, it was just really freaking cool and exciting. So exciting. So we did get to Boise around 2:30 in the morning, and we did go to the game, and it was so fun and so exciting. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous day in Boise. So that was my Mother's Day fun, is that we went. And the other cool thing is that this field is directly across the street from a really old cemetery. It's like, it's in kind of a more affluent area in Boise, and there's this little cemetery that takes up like maybe one city block-ish, maybe not even that quite that big, and it's all closed. Like, you can't drive through it. It looks to me like they probably are still burying a few people in there, but for the most part, I mean, a lot of the graves in there were from the 1800s or an early 1900s. So, you know, not only did I get to go to a college softball game, to a Boise State game, huge. But I also got to go wander this really cool old cemetery. So, I mean, could I ask for more, really? It was a lot of fun. I know, middle of the night, again. I know. We got to plan better, man. It was just such a last minute. I didn't think that they would make it. They were the number 4 seed. And on Thursday, they beat out the number 5 seed. And they got killed by the number 1 seed. So then on Friday, they would have had to beat out the number 3 seed and the number 2 seed to go to the championship game. And I just wasn't feeling it. I didn't think they really had the pitching staff to do it. But by God, they did it. So then we had to scramble. They did lose 3-6, but who cares? They did awesome. They fought hard. And the game was so much fun. We were in the outfield, so the home runs were coming right out by us. There were so many kids, you guys, it killed me. The cutest little kids with their gloves, little girls and little boys with their gloves. And I watched this darling little boy. He had on a bright orange Boise State shirt, and he had an orange mitt, and a home run came right at him. And he was like maybe 5, and he was standing there, and he was standing there, and he had his mitt out, and kind of at the last minute, he bailed out. He could have caught it had he stayed in there, but maybe he couldn't have. It might have torn his poor little arm off. Those are huge hits. Anyway, it was fun to watch all the kids with their mitts and all their excitement and stuff. It was just cool. Sid said, what an amazing coincidence to be out driving when the lights were going off with an unobstructed view, for real. She said, I didn't find out about the Florida viewing opportunities until the morning after, and I saw nothing Saturday. Apparently, they saw them Saturday night. We were going to go out, and we were just too damn tired. So we were still at the kids' house, and I think Mateo went to bed about 8, and Scott and I both took naps, and yeah. I wanted to go back out, but we were just shot. We had nothing left. Okay. Lillian says, I'm forgiven for driving in the middle of the night only because of the lights, right? I mean, you kind of have to drive in the middle of the night if you want to see the lights, depending on where you live, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump in the other chat room here quick. mistake, Wally. Ah, she also didn't hear about the lights beforehand. Hey, Marina and Denise. You know, I did because they've been seeing him in northern Montana ever since my daughter's been living up there, going to school and playing ball. They've been seeing him up there here and there. This is the third time she has seen them. And so we're always keeping an eye. And in fact, a good friend of hers up there, one of the coach's moms that I've gotten to be good friends with, she texts me every time that they are projected to see them, just in case, you know, they bleed down here. So we were all over it, but that was probably why. And I'm going to show you a picture in the chat. I'll post it too. It is not mine. And I'll give attribution to the photographer, but this is the most amazing thing. I'm sure you all saw some absolutely amazing pictures because there were a lot of them. But this one particularly just blew my mind. Okay, I got it in the chat room. This is by a local photographer named Josh Packer, and he gave permission to share this photo far and wide, so I'm doing so, but all attribution to Josh, and you can find him on Facebook, so you can look for Josh there. But this is the Northern Lights over the Tetons, and what I think is Jenny Lake. I'm pretty sure that's Jenny Lake. So I was born at the base of the Tetons. I can see the Tetons from my house on clear days, though I live about 45 minutes away from them now. But this is where my dad's family is from, is right up in this area. And it's an incredibly sacred, special, incredible place. But is that picture not everything? So good on you, Josh Packer. Amazing. Wonderful work. I want to find out if he's selling prints of that and buy a print from him. Incredible. Yeah. So obviously I just had to go completely wild and design the entire luminous today around the Northern Lights. Because apparently that's all I can think about. I'm going to share a link in the chat rooms, but if you subscribe, you would have received this earlier this morning. And then we'll go through it together. I've got quite a few things from Luminous to share. Well, yeah, seeing them in Florida is hard to imagine, right? And yet they did. My God, did you see the ones that came out of Australia and Ireland were my absolute favorites. Absolutely stunning stuff. All right, let's go. Okay, so obviously we called this episode or this edition the Aurora Borealis, you know, for obvious reasons. And we are examining the Northern Lights. So I was thinking about what I know about what our ancestors believed about the Northern Lights. And I knew that labradorite is, you know, that I've said this a million times, but the stone labradorite, that's going to be really hard to see, but the flashing labradorite, the Inuits consider that to be bits of the aurora that froze and fell from the sky. And that's what the flash in labradorite is, which I've always thought was pretty special. But I was wondering about other historical beliefs, so I did some research and put together an article about all of this. And I did include a couple of pictures from myself, but let's talk about it because I think this stuff is fascinating. I mean, from our viewpoint, we see it as more of a scientific thing at this point. But imagine if science wasn't really a thing, you know? If the lens you looked through was all spiritual slash religious slash other curiosities. So in Norse mythology, they called it the Bifrost Bridge. The Aurora Borealis was thought to be the Bifrost Bridge, a glowing, pulsating pathway connecting Earth to Asgard, the realm of the gods. I'll accept that answer. This celestial phenomena was seen as a divine manifestation, a bridge adorned with the colors of a rainbow, used by gods to travel between worlds. How cool is that? The Norse saw these lights as a grand otherworldly spectacle, a reminder of the gods' presence in the heavens. I mean, I think in some ways a lot of people see it like that even now. You know, religious people surely are looking at this going, that's God's handiwork. I know some of my friends posted things like that are religious people. I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. The Finns, in Finnish folklore, they called it the Fire Fox's Dance. They believed the northern lights were believed to be caused by a magical fox. The Revontulet, or fox fires, were created when a fox ran so swiftly across the snow that its tail sent sparks into the sky, illuminating it with bright colors. Is that not the sweetest? I love that. I want to see that fox. And then the Inuit. I already talked about the Labradorite belief from the Inuit. They also believed that the Northern Lights were the spirits of their ancestors playing ball with a walrus skull. The Lights movement was thought to be the spirits celebrating and rejoicing in the afterlife. This belief provided comfort and a sense of connection to the spiritual realm, offering a way to honor and remember those who had passed. I'll accept that too. And now the dragons. In ancient China, the Northern Lights were associated with dragons. These mythical creatures, often considered symbols of power and good fortune, as we know, were believed to breathe fire and light into the sky. If you had a belief in dragons, I think that would be a really easy thing to associate, right? The colorful displays were interpreted as celestial battles between dragons or as omens of significant events reflecting the cultural importance of dragons in Chinese mythology. I could see that being flickers of dragon's flame, couldn't you? Okay, in medieval Europe, omens and portents. These are my people. In medieval Europe, the northern lights were often seen as ominous signs from the heavens. They were believed to predict significant events such as wars, plagues, and the deaths of kings. This era's lack of scientific understanding led to a mixture of awe and fear as people looked to the skies for divine messages and warnings. That also doesn't surprise me, you know, that some people would see them as incoming bad things happening or fear coming or something to be afraid of, I guess. I just thought all of that was super interesting and fun to consider. Two things. What you really think the Northern Lights, if you believe that they have a spiritual message, what you might believe that message would be. And then also, if you believe that the Northern Lights could bring omens, if they could bring, fear-based thinking, or if you were writing a fable and including the Northern Lights, what you would call them, right? The story about the fox just got my wheels turning about all the different things you could consider them to be. Like, I was thinking about fire dancers and that the Northern Lights could be fire dancers in the sky that are twirling their batons so fast or dancing and twirling or whirling so quickly that those are the lights that they're putting off. Or, I mean, you could go a million places with it, but that was one of the ones that I had thought about. Like, if you were going to write a children's story for fun about the Northern Lights, what would you call them? What could you associate them with in the realm of make-believe. Anyway, I hope we see them again. That was an amazing experience. All right, over in Refeminist History with Kelly, she is finishing up her list of badass female athletes. I have really enjoyed this series with her. She has come up with some absolutely amazing women and their experiences. Debbie Thomas. I learned some things from her article about Debbie Thomas that I had no idea. She was the first African American to win any medal at the Winter Olympics when she took the bronze in 1988. And at the time, she was studying pre-med at Stanford. She also ended up having some very significant mental health issues, and her life kind of fell apart later on. She was really, really competitive. And so, of course, she was difficult. She was one of those difficult women, guys. You know the type. The driven ones. The ones who know what they want. The ones that can't be bossed around. That's the kind. Good on you, Debbie. At any rate, she's got a great list here of women that did amazing things. And so I hope that you take some time to read it and think about all of their contributions to the growth of women. My tip this week is my pain relief bath salt soak, because one thing that the Northern Lights have brought, or the not the Northern Lights, but the solar storms have brought, is pain. My God. I didn't know if it was just me. Starting on about Thursday last week, maybe Friday, my chronic pain symptoms that are normally really well managed just were laid bare, raw pain in many parts of my body. And I was like, what the hell? Pain is one thing I manage really well. There's other things that are a little out of control, but pain I usually have a good handle on. I have a good routine, a good system, and I do well. Whew. No. And then I kind of suffered through the weekend. And then at a Mother's Day picnic with my sisters on Friday or Sunday evening, learned that every one of them was struggling and hurting a lot too. And I had some calls from clients that were like, what the hell is going on with me? And I went, oh, okay. Could this be the solar storms? Are they causing discomfort in people's bodies? So I did an informal poll on my Facebook page yesterday, and nothing short of what I think 30 people responded and said that, yeah, their symptoms are blown through the roof. One person responded and said that she's feeling very well, actually better than she has in a while. So good for her. But most people said, yeah, I'm in hell. It's crazy. I made two doctor's appointments yesterday. That's how bad it was. Yeah, I think it is the solar storms. I think it brought a certain level of discomfort. Yeah, Sheila said she's been suffering too. Yeah, it's wild. So obviously it just calls for excellent self-care. For me, it means making sure I stay warm, because that's when I ache the most, is if I get too cold. And other things like absolutely no carbs whatsoever. And I'm going to go to the doctor and get a shot, because that's actually the thing that will knock it down the best. But at any rate, I was curious to hear that. And so if that is you, and you are struggling with chronic pain symptoms or chronic illness symptoms right now that are kind of blown out, I hope you get relief soon. Don't you dare suffer in silence. Treat your symptoms. You're probably going to have to wait it out. We all are, but treat your symptoms. Don't just feel like shit for no reason and not do anything about it. We've all done it. You know, if it's you, you know I'm talking to you. We've all done it. But I included in my tip this week my pain relief bath soak, because this, I think, helps exponentially. It's 2 cups of sea salt, 10 drops of frankincense oil, 5 drops of peppermint, 5 drops of rosemary, and 5 drops of eucalyptus. Shake that up really, really well. And then put a cup of it in a warm bath before your body goes in there. Put this in first and it's already emulsified in the oil. Now it's just going to spread out into your water, and so that you don't get a thermal burn from essential oils, because that sucks. but you won't with this process. Keep it in a glass jar with a tight lid. I just like canning jars. I use canning jars for bath salts all the time. I think it works the best. But maybe you've got some fancy cute jars that you bought somewhere or whatever. It doesn't matter, but sealed jars. And yeah, so soak in that to help with your aches and your pains. Yeah, Sid said the elevated and erratic geomagnetic energies are affecting, causing headaches, brain fog, back pain, stomach, etc. They call them ascension symptoms. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, but I wanted to include a shout out there because I know that quite a few of you are struggling right now, and I'm joining you in that. But we're all determined to take good care of ourselves, right? The Schumann resonance is also 44 today, which again is quite high and could also contribute to feeling off kilter. The other part of it, of course, is to make sure you're staying grounded. Absolutely, without question, get yourself outside every day. Get your feet in the grass. Give yourself a chance to just feel the earth for a few minutes. You really need that right now. Sheila bought Epsom salts to soak her feet with essential oils. That's awesome. Yes, that should help. I would assume so. It's a great step. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm going to jump in the other chat real quick. Oh, Marina had jet lag. Oh, yeah, you've been off on a tear. I hope you had a marvelous, marvelous trip. Hey, Mary and Maya and Karen. No northern lights in New York City. It was cloudy. That's too bad because that would have been a very cool view. I love it when there's an event like that and people have the foresight to get to a cool place. I saw some pictures. I should have snagged one. I saw some pictures of people taking some pictures over Old Faithful in West Yellowstone. Or in Yellowstone, not West Yellowstone. In Yellowstone. Yeah. Very cool. Oh, yeah. Ascension symptoms are very real. Yep. And I think people that just, your constitution's a little fragile anyway, you probably just are affected more. And maybe you're not. Maybe I'm singing to the wrong choir. Maybe it's not fair to say this is just our chronic pain or chronic illness, folks. Maybe it's affecting a lot more than that. That's probably true. Am I affected when I go out into a high Wi-Fi place like Starbucks or a restaurant? No, I'm not. Sid, I think I used to be. But I don't feel like that really bothers me so much anymore. I am more bothered in places like Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, big box stores that have a billion overhead lights. That's what affects me more. Yeah. In fact, when I was in high school and college, and then when I was first married, I worked at Kmart. And I fully believed that the fluorescent lights in there were making me sick. Now the lights are, understand that was 25 years ago, more. That was more than 25 years ago. Hey, Laurie. But at that time they were the old lights that buzz. You know what I'm talking about? And I felt like, because I've never been sicker. After I got married, Scott and I were in a car accident on our honeymoon in Los Angeles. And, we're just two Idaho teenagers that, like, the wreck wasn't our fault. It was scary. It was a terrifying experience. And I was hurt. I wasn't hurt enough to go to the hospital, but I was hurt. I had a whiplash injury. And that's when a lot of my chronic pain symptoms started to emerge, is within the next few months after that. And then after a year of a million tests and trips to the doctor and the rheumatologist, they finally diagnosed me with fibromyalgia. And then, of course, that diagnosis, evolved over time, but I was working at Kmart. We came home from our honeymoon and I was still working at Kmart. And I was so ill when I was at work. And it wasn't just like the walking around, though that was something that bothered me. It was the energy of the store. Now, part of it is that store was, it was full of people that hated each other. That's the most toxic place I have ever worked. And which is wild because I'm still good friends with some of the people I worked with there. Individually, they were great, but quite a few of the people that worked there, they opened that store in the 70s, and there were about 8 folks that worked there in the 90s who opened that store. So they've been there a long time, and they hated Kmart, and they hated each other, and they hated themselves in some ways, I think. And so, you know, this college kids and high school kids be bopping in there to work, and we're all, you know, fresh-faced and haven't had our asses kicked by the world or Kmart yet, and they hated us too. But like I said, I became great friends with a few of them that I'm still good friends with. But at the time, I did not realize how sick Kmart was making me, because when I finally had a different opportunity and I quit, my health improved leaps and bounds within a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. I was amazed. And I promised myself I'm never, ever working a job I hate again. Ever. Because it's not worth it. I was the front desk manager. And so I spent a lot of time, you know, getting yelled at by customers who wanted to return things that we couldn't return and all of those kinds of things. But at any rate, so I agree with that, Sid, in the sense of not Wi-Fi, and maybe it is Wi-Fi now, but the big box stores are the ones that make me feel terrible. She said the smells are starting to affect me more and more at Walmart, even the fabric department at Hobby Lobby. Sure. The smells. Oh, my God. When I was pregnant, I could not stand the smell of dog food, of pet food of any sort. We would have to avoid that part of the store because if I even walked past the dog food aisle, it would send me throwing up. So, I mean, I get it in some ways. Scott can't go into any place that's like heavily scented, like Bath and Body Works or a place like that. He can't even go in there. It just makes his head hurt. He feels horrible. There's definitely something to be said for the over-scented public, you know. You go into public restrooms and they have such a strong sense in there or scent in there that it just makes you ill. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mary said she's been really struggling with pain too. Marina said she had a great trip, sad about her grandmother's health. Yeah, which this was her 100th. Birthday party, correct? And she became a godmother. Wow. That sounds like a pretty amazing trip for sure. All right. Well, let's move on. Christy's energy exercise this week is energy breathing, which, by the way, is a great one for helping get grounded and centered. So if you're feeling like you're bouncing off the walls, this is a really good one for you. Lots of criming going on over at True Crime Squad, you know. And right now, it's all about the trial of Chad Daybell, as you know. And I think we're about halfway done. About. Or they. There's no we, really. I mean, there's we in it that we're covering it, but I think they are about halfway done. Anita brings us the nature fairies, the elementals, elves, gnomes, and more. I would love to hear you guys' experiences with elementals. We should probably do like a whole elemental show here soon, but I would love to hear what you experience with elementals or if you ever have. Some people are such magnets to them. They have them around quite a bit. And other people, I think, either don't know or haven't ever actually experienced them. Yeah. said most things on store shelves emit toxic fragrances or things like formaldehyde with clothing, anything fabric. Oh yeah, for sure. Sheila's angry with the, yeah, I know why you are. Yep. She's mad at the nature spirits right now. They will move your stuff. They do those things. Lots of meditations, of course, over at Planet Meditation, though I will admit I haven't gotten a new one up basically since the Day Bell trial started, except for last week. We did, not last week, 2 weeks ago, I think, we did the eclipse one. But, you know, all in good time, right? I have to give myself some grace. There's only so much of me, so it's okay. And that is Luminous this week. So I hope that you got some gems out of that, found anything helpful or useful. Oh, Laurie said, Yankee candle stores used to make me nauseated. Oh, yeah. I can't do scented candles. I can't. I did years ago, like when I had my daycare, I would always have a scented candle going or a scented candle on a warmer, you know, because daycare and a million diapers and, you know, kids stink. But over time, I started realizing that when I was burning my candles, I was coughing a lot. I was having headaches, and I realized this is toxic. It's bad for me. It's bad for the kids. It's really when I got into essential oils, because the artificial scents. Also, the candle itself, because the wick can have lead in it. It used to. I think they're better about that now. But there's a lot of problematic things about the candles, the wax melts, that, you know, and if they work for you, more power to you. You can get a lot more natural ones now, too, that are either palm or soy. I really like palm wax, candles that are made from palm wax, or just good old beeswax. I mean, beeswax to me is the best. But beeswax has such a strong scent of its own. The other part of it is, if you go buy beeswax anything and it's white, is beeswax white? No. Beeswax is gold. So if you're buying beeswax that is lighter in color, it's probably been bleached. So you got to watch for that too. But oh, Laurie said when she goes to dance, she pulls all of the Glade plugins. Yeah. When I got to Mateus the other night, my daughter, she had a plug-in in her bedroom. And when I walked in my bedroom, her bedroom, with my luggage, she unplugged it and said, oh my gosh, Mom, I'm so sorry. I was going to unplug this earlier. I know this doesn't make you feel good. And I'm like, no, it's okay. It's fine. But yeah, I can't do it. And again, like if you can and you love them, more power to you. No judgment at all. I just, I think I hit my limit, you know? Like they say, you're born with an empty bucket. I really like this analogy. You're born with an empty bucket. And as you are exposed to various, you know, potential toxins and things, you get drops in your bucket. And when your bucket is full, you're done. That's when you start having allergy symptoms, reactions, things like that. And then you really have to empty your bucket by being really careful about what you are putting in your body and exposing your body to. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jane said, forget the Yankee candles. I went to a fair in a hotel and couldn't stay long due to the smells. Between the fake hotel scent and the wares of the vendors was instant headache and congestion. Yeah, I hear that. It said Yvette is the only one to clearly state that burning all fragrances, even essential oils. Yeah, you got to be very careful there too. Creates toxins due to the effect of heat on fats. Totally changes their properties. Tea candles under essential oils is the same. Yeah, really just diffusing essential oils. And even then, if you have pets in the house, being extremely careful if you're going to do that about what you're going to use. Yeah. Yes, and plugins are toxic to pets, particularly birds. My God. It kills me to walk into somebody's house that has birds in cages and also is using products like that. Yikes. Yeah. I've been struggling to find for Fiona, our little female mini pig, she gets really dry skin. And it doesn't, I mean, it does bother her. She's itching her back against everything she can get a hold of. And we like to put hemp oil on her. But the only hemp oil I can ever find is scented. And I just worry because pigs' noses are really, really sensitive. And any animal who has a super sensitive smeller, and they all do, should not have a lot of scent stuff on them or around them. I always feel bad, but I rub some hemp oil into her back that's lightly scented because she needs it. But I always worry about the smell. Yeah. Yeah, air fresheners can be endocrine disruptors. A lot of things are endocrine disruptors. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we got on the topic of scent, but I'm right here with you. There's a lady that lives across the street from us that back a million years ago when we still went to church, she was so allergic to, she has asthma, so allergic to people's perfumes that she had to attend church in a separate room. So they broadcast, you know, through speakers into various rooms in the church from the chapel. And she'd have to sit in a separate room from the congregation to listen to the sermon because she could not handle being in a room with people that had all these different colognes and perfumes and things on. I always thought that was a lot, I'm sure. And I think so often we don't really think about the products that we're using or the scents that we're applying to ourselves or to our clothes, that those could have a negative effect on other people. But they can. There's a type of deodorant. I don't even think you can buy it anymore. But it used to be this, I think it was Secret lavender deodorant. It was popular when I was a teenager. And it would give me a full-on asthma attack. Kill me. Awful. It would make my nose run, my throat hurt. I would cough and wheeze and sneeze and like, you know, bad. And I had bought some, you know, worn it a few times and realized that, yeah, I'm definitely allergic to this product. But I remember when I was in high school, I was at an honor band. I played the clarinet in junior high and high school and college. And I was at an honor band. And honor bands were bands that you had to audition for and be chosen to be a part of. And then you'd travel to whatever town it was in. And they'd send you your music beforehand so that you'd already learned it. And then you'd have like a couple of days, 2 or 3 days to practice with the whole band coming together from all these different schools. And you would, you know, then put on a concert after you'd practiced all this music and stuff. And there was someone sitting near me, a clarinetist, that had that deodorant on. And I had a hell of a time getting through that weekend. I had to take a lot of breaks and I had to just like pace myself. I didn't even know who had it on. I could just smell it. I knew somebody was wearing it. And what do? Right? Whoever is wearing the lavender deodorant, knock it off. Not much you can do about that. But I remember how sick I was that weekend and what a hard time I had getting through it because of that. I don't think I could give her castor oil. I could give her fish oils. That's a good idea. I had thought about even just corn oil on her food, but I hate to throw too many calories at the piggies because that'll, a moment on the lips, forever on the hips is, couldn't be more true for pigs. But that's a good point though, Laurie. Maybe there is something I could do, with her diet to help affect that skin. It's funny because Zig has no skin problems at all, but her skin just looks, I mean, their skin is so thick and they have so many layers that it's not like the way our skin would be if it was like that dry and cracking. This is a outer layer. But still, it looks bad to me, you know. Anyway, but that's a good idea. I should look into that and see what I can just feed her and see if it gets better. Poor piglet. She also just needs a good scrubbing. And if you've ever tried to bath a pig, well, that's a hard nope. Turns out pigs don't want to take a bath at all. I had found Sun. Part of the problem is that she doesn't want you to put it on her. And so we have it in a little spray bottle. And you just kind of have to chase her down and spray it on her while she runs past, because she doesn't like it, doesn't want you to do it. And so I was looking for other like oils in spray bottles that would be a little easier to apply to her, but they're all so scented. And I just don't want to do that to her. Right. Yes, Lillian. This is Scott running through the house, chasing her down and spraying oil up her back as she gets past. We need a video of that, don't we? It just occurred to me. We do. Yeah. Yeah, laundry scents, Jess, for sure. I think so too, Sid, that the laundry scents are stronger now. I keep seeing this company on Facebook. I haven't ordered it, but I thought about it that they say they're natural scents, which doesn't mean shit, so it's hard to know. But they have scent pods for your laundry. Well, they have laundry soap. They're pods, but they're laundry soap that are supposed to be natural scents that are easier on your system. And they have one that is rose that looks divine. Every time I see that ad come up on my Facebook, I'm like, I am trying this. And then, you know, I don't. But I thought about it for that very reason. Jessica said we had a nest with 5 eggs in it, 4 just discovered, and the 5th hatched. Now watching the nest to see if mama comes back. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I hope so. Are they robins? What are they, Jessica? So I'm quite sure that my crows are sitting on eggs because, you know, I told you I saw them fornicating in the street last week. And now I only have one of them coming to the feeder at a time. And usually they come together. But this week, every time I call them in, only one comes and eats. And then a little bit later, I'll see the other one there. So pretty sure they're trading off and they're sitting eggs. So excited. My crows in the past only ever had one baby at a time. But as we know, we have a new mama this year. So I don't know what's going to happen, but quite sure they're sitting because that's what they usually do. You'll have them together for a while and you'll see them carrying stuff around that they're building their nest with. And then you're down to one for a while. And then pretty soon they'll be 3. At least they were in years past. So we'll see. Laurie said they don't want to take a bath. I guess that's why we call them pigs, right? Oh, please. We cleaned their bedroom yesterday. That's how we know we call them pigs. Their bedroom is my patio. Well, I have an enclosed patio. That's where they sleep and eat and stuff. And good Lord. Basically, they want to shred something. They want to shred something and make a nest. So every so often, I just give them a new blanket and let them have at it. And they'll shred it into a million pieces and they'll sleep in it and love it for a few months until I can't stand it anymore. And then I'll sweep it up and throw it away and give them a new one. And that they're happiest that way. They used to have a bed. Scott had built them a bed that was about the size of a toddler bed that they did really well in until they were about 3-ish, and then they just got a little too big for it, and it was just a constant fight because they want to sleep belly to belly. They sleep on their sides, belly to belly. That's how they always sleep, you know. And I have a black pig and a white pig, so it's like this yin yang kind of pig arrangement. And they got a little too big for their bed, and it was constantly battling somebody. Occasionally you'd hear a pig fall off the bed in the night, so we gave up on the bed because it was just too small. And now they're just sleeping on the floor in a piggy nest that they create themselves, and they're happiest that way. So, you know, it's worth the $15 for a big blanket at Walmart every 3 or 4 months so they can just do what they want to with it, and they're happy and it works. But yeah, they got a new blanket yesterday. We cleaned their bedroom and I was like, for God's sake, they are pigs. Without a doubt. Oh, okay, Jess. Sorry, I'm catching up. She said she had a nest with 4 eggs in it. 5 eggs in it. 4 eggs disappeared. Mm-hmm. A small brown bird. Oh. Well, yeah. Unfortunately, That was probably the crows or the magpies. They steal the babies. You can, but they're always the ones that have stuffing in them. And I hate those for the pigs. They just, it gets gross. And although the dogs like to eat it, the stuffing out of blankets and toys and stuff, it can't be good for them. So I only buy like the polar fleece ones. They're harder for them to tear up too. It takes a little longer for them to completely annihilate them. But at any rate, I'm afraid, friends, we've had another stream of consciousness show, but I guess it's fine. We had things we needed to talk about. Oh, Jane, good idea. An oatmeal bath. I wish I could. Maybe I could wrestle her into her piggy pool. Oh, that's okay. She said soak dry oatmeal for a few hours and pour it on her outside. Scott would have to put on his running shoes, chase her around the yard. I'm down for this. And a green tea spritz to spray on her skin. That's a great idea. Okay, I'm sold. That's probably exactly what she needs. Denise said she uses essential oils as her perfume. Oh, me too. 100%. Or hydrosols. The perfume I use the most is actually the sandalwood hydrosol from Jade Bloom. It's my favorite. Or I layer it with the rose hydrosol and use them both. Really like that too. But anyway, it is what it is. But per normal, we have talked down to the end of the show. I do want to let you know that you can find me over at 12listen.com. And that, of course, is I am a professional psychic advisor at 12listen. I am there daily. You can always find me. If you go over there and I'm not there for some reason, I'm probably just out for a short time. Just do a callback request. Then I get a text to my phone that someone's waiting for me, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. So otherwise, that's number12listen.com. And again, you'll find me every day. You can look to me there for psychic readings, some energy work, animal communication, mediumship, a shoulder to cry on, whatever you need. I'll be there for you. So thanks so much for being here, you guys. Good show. Good to connect. Good to talk Northern Lights because yeah. All right, guys, this has been a great show. Thanks for being here. This has been yet another production of the Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.